Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording from a joint service in North Bushy between Wellspring Church and Holy Trinity. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. Much better than this, however, is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much. Well, welcome back, everybody. Or should I say welcome home, church family. It's so nice to get together, isn't it, after the festivals and the summer events. And it feels like it's only been a month, but it feels like I haven't seen anyone for so long. So it's lovely, lovely, lovely to be back together and see all your faces. Dan and I, via WhatsApp texts and a couple of phone calls here and there, have been hearing some amazing stories, whether it's been family fun or just incredible times of just community together. And we're so looking forward to hearing from our youth in the coming weeks just about how Soul Survivor went and all the experiences that they had there. As Dan and I have been seeking the Lord on what we're going to look at in this coming term, we keep coming back to that idea of how far we've come. It has, like Anne says, it's been a year now of us being together, which is crazy. And the one thing that we keep coming back to is just how much we've grown in just following and just making sure that we live in God's presence. Just to know that he's moving us, both in our spiritual lives and corporately here as a church. He's been speaking to us, taking us outside of our comfort zones on a Sunday morning, which has been definitely a journey, doing prayer ministry together. And just the way that we've kind of come together as a bit of a blended family. And it's led us to doing a series in the next few weeks looking at knowing God and having more of him in our lives, which we are super excited about because it does feel like the having more is just the next bit in our journey. Francis Chan once wrote, "The world is not moved by love or actions that are of human creation, and the church is not empowered to live differently from any other gathering of people without the Holy Spirit. But when believers live in the power of the Spirit, the evidence in their lives is supernatural. The church cannot help but be different, and the world cannot help but notice." It is a bold statement, but it's utterly truthful, and something that as a church we can certainly bear witness to over this last year. And you may have got a sense of the 11 a.m. shifting a bit. Like I say, we have been more intentional in leading into God, listening to what he's saying to us, and just seeking more of his presence for a Sunday morning. In everything we do, we want to be led by the power of the Holy Spirit, to lead sung worship from a place of seeking him, from preaching from a place of drawing close to him, and doing ministry time from a place of waiting on him. Knowing he's alive and active and always working for our good. Our prayer every week at the start of the service is, "Lord, this isn't our service, it's yours. We just want to be open-palmed to hearing what you've got for us. You lead us." And we have had some fantastic stories of salvation. We're going to have some baptisms soon, which I'm really excited about. We've had lots of relationship building and growth in our community. And it's not just been in this church. It has been out there. We did the church on the green, and we did loads of different events, like we did the fair and stuff like that. And it's really seen us relationally grow. And I'm excited this morning just to speak a little bit on what Scripture says about carrying the presence of God in our everyday. Before I start really getting into it, there's two books that I read that are brilliant. I'd highly recommend them. One is called Everyday Supernatural by Mike Pilavachi and Andy Croft, and the other one is called Forgotten God by Francis Chan. They're very different books, but they are super challenging, so I would definitely encourage you to read them. They are excellent. So, carrying the presence of God in our everyday, what does it look like? Counterculturally, it starts from a place of just resting in him, of just being silent, being still, getting to know the Lord, getting to know the Holy Spirit. How does he speak to us? How does he interact with us, both personally and corporately? Then out of a place of obedience, when we get a sense of something, stepping out in faith to share it. Like when we wait at the end of our service, we kind of have that little time, don't we, where we just say, come Holy Spirit, and we just see whatever we feel like he's putting on our hearts. And it's something that, although that's great on a Sunday, we want to be doing it all through the week just for ourselves personally, so it becomes something that's just super natural. Because it's definitely not for us in these four walls. It's something that we receive from the Lord, something to share and something to show and model his love to the last, the least, and the lost. Whether in our families, schools, colleges, workplaces, or wherever we may find ourselves, because God is always moving and speaking. A friend of mine a little while ago was walking along the road, and she saw a guy digging around in a bin on the other side, and she just felt like the Lord say that he was thirsty and he was looking for a bottle with some liquid in it so he could have a drink. And so she thought, right, I'm going to test this out. She crossed over the road, she just bought a bottle of water, and she said to him, I don't suppose you're thirsty, are you? Do you want a bottle of water? And he was so blown away. And sorry, that wasn't intentional. My mouth was just getting drier and drier, and I was like, what do I do here? He was so blown away that someone would notice him on the other side of the road and give him their bottle of water. And it was so empowering for her to know that she'd heard the Lord in that moment, because it's such a random thought, isn't it, that guy's thirsty. Sometimes carrying the presence of God in our everyday can be just about those very small acts of day-to-day living. When we declare on a Sunday that he's faithful and keeps his promises, we believe that the Lord wants to show us exactly that, that he can be trusted. And it does start with obedience in those little things. Maybe some of you prayed for friends this summer and saw some amazing things happen. Maybe some of you offered something to a person in need. But no matter what you did, no matter how big or small that was, my prayer is just in this next little while, as we step out, we learn that he is always faithful. And it's not something that we can travel corporately until we really get it personally. It starts with us and a relationship with our Father. His ways are not our ways. And one of the biggest things for me over the years really has been when I pray and I think that nothing happens, that it's not that nothing's actually happening. It's just not necessarily in the way that I would have it happen. I do believe that we move God's hand to action when we knock on heaven's door by prayer and petition. And when we look back, we can always see what he was doing. But it's always retrospectively, isn't it? It's really weird how he does that. But we see his kingdom come so much more when we partner with what he's doing. When we say, Lord, you show me, walk along the road, say, God, show me what you're up to. In order to see North Bushy reached, we have to get to a place where we hear him, we trust him, and then we act, which is scary. But as we grow in this, we learn when it's time to hold something back. Sometimes he'll say something to us and we just wait on it. Sometimes when we hear him, we can trust and we can act. And then sometimes we just need to leave it and just park it up. Sometimes patiently in prayer if it's not instant, and sometimes when he moves, it's there and then for his glory, like when we pray for healing and it just... Sometimes you can be praying for years and years, nothing happens, we think. Sometimes we pray and there and then. That's why I can't wait to hear about a soul survivor this summer. And of course, sometimes we wait and we wait and we pray and we pray. But he is faithful. And the only way we can test this is to trust that still small voice in our day-to-day that we sense or we hear when we reach out and ask him what he's up to. Guys, Sunday at church is the least scary place to test this out. This is the safe space in these four walls. If you have a friend in need when you're having coffee after, get praying, try it out. I love that we have a ladies' WhatsApp group here, and if you are a lady and you're not in it, do shout, because I need to make sure everybody's in it. But that's something that's really developing. Someone might sort of drop a little nugget into the WhatsApp group, and then it just becomes this massive prayer, and you know, everybody's kind of having a play. Sometimes we can start supporting something and ask for the Lord's anointing over it, and more times than I can count, I personally hear him and see what he's up to when it's a situation that he's really broken my heart for, and then I'm on that journey with him. He's already taken me on the journey, but then I'm just joining with what he's doing. We can do the same. And when we look at scripture, there's always that sense of the journey to carrying his presence, from Adam and Eve being in his presence to the Israelites walking with it and then the disciples being gifted it. Hearts are broken for a cause, passions are high, and people pursue it. And I love looking at scripture and just seeing that storyline run through the Bible of God's presence. So I'm going to share some now. Weirdly, and I don't know why, I've kind of done Old Testament and then sort of landed with Jesus. I guess because from there the rest is sort of history. But I like looking at the fact that God's presence and his Holy Spirit is very, very much in the Old Testament. So in creation, in Genesis 2, it says, "Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man. From the dust of the ground he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." I love the imagery of this. From dust and breath he formed man. Like a potter creating clay, God's presence is and was hands-on, right there in the dirt of life with us, forming us, moulding us, breathing new life into us. It's an intimate picture. He's not a distant father. He's in the dirt there with us. He's close to us and he knows us because he formed us intimately and literally blew his presence and his life into our lungs. We walk with him and he walks with us, but more deeply now, his presence is in you and me. Moses is another fantastic example of someone who was intimate and shared everything with the Father and walked in his presence, and he's always asking for more. The story of Moses is basically God doing something and Moses saying, "I'd like a little bit more, please." So in Exodus 33:13-23, it says this, or Moses says this, "If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with me, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." In his presence, we hear him, we learn more about him, and we receive that rest. And Moses recognizes without his presence, he can't succeed, and there's just no point without him. And I'm desperate for that mindset, to relinquish control and say, "Lord, this is for you, for your glory. If you're not in it, then there's just no point." King David also knew this. I love, there's little snippets as I was reading Everyday Supernatural that just stood out to me. And this on King David was fab. It said, "David, the greatest king Israel ever had, battle-scarred and hardened by a life of war, wept and cried out for the presence of God. He could have sought God for a great army or a great wealth, but left us in no doubt that his one driving ambition was to be in God's presence." And you only have to read the Psalms to feel the strength of his conviction. This is one tiny little bit from Psalm 51. It says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit with me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant in me a willing spirit to sustain me." David wasn't necessarily in a good place when he was praying that, but he asked and he was really seeking God. And I guess the lesson from that is that we don't need to be in a great place to always be seeking his presence. You might remember from the last time I spoke, love researching. I geek out a little bit when it comes to preaching, and I end up going down a bit of a rabbit hole when I kind of pick up on something. And this time it was Ruach, which is the breath of God, the presence of God. So I'm going to share some things with you just so you can geek out with me and come along on this little journey. Various different places I found some of these bits. So it says, the Holy Spirit in Hebrew, so this is talking about what Ruach is, the original inspired language of the Tanakh, which is the Old Testament, the word Ruach can be construed as a person. It is a person. He is invisible and like wind because he can be felt or experienced but not seen. He is the breath of God which disperses his life force, his energy and his intentions/mind. He is Yahweh's spirit, which is omnipresent, but also can be directed in specific ways for specific purposes. He is the Holy Spirit. He is God's spirit. The basic meaning of Ruach is both wind or breath, but neither is understood as essence. Rather, it is the power encountered in breath and wind, whose whence and whither remains mysterious. Ruach has a designation for the wind, which is necessarily something found in motion with the power to set other things in motion. Literally loved it. That's why I had to share it. So this presence that's with us every day has the power to put things in motion, has the ultimate power, but is wholly mysterious. And so that gives us something really exciting to seek out and get to know and build a relationship with. This is a super famous quote from David Wilkerson. It says, when you strip it of everything else, Pentecost stands for power and life. And that's what came into church when the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. So what we do and how we live as Christians could only be fired up for all ages because of God's intimate power that he breathed over his disciples and breathes over us today, giving us the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us. Ruach has the power to set things in motion, and that breath that breathed into Adam to begin life on earth, the creation of man, was also the same breath that breathed the release into the church as Jesus blew over his disciples at Pentecost. Isn't that crazy? That same breath of life. It was almost a recreation for the early church. So God was restoring, renewing and recreating his original plan from Adam in Jesus. And now he uses us. Francis Chan, in his book Forgotten God, says this: we are most alive when we're loving and actively giving of ourselves because we were made to do these things. The presence of God, walking in his presence, leaning into him brings change no matter how big or small. Just in the way that my friend gave the water to the man digging in the bin, his presence helps us to be a bit more like him. And we're created in his image for closeness. We get together today and throughout the week with friends, whether that's for fun, food, hangouts, community, with each other. And we get to model that relationship from our Father God and carry his presence every day to do his will and bring the gospel message here to North Bushy. And it's already there. We just need to listen. We don't need to strive for anything. God is already in us. He's done everything. We just need to turn up the volume a little bit. Another Francis Chan quote for you. If it's true that the Spirit of God dwells in us and that our bodies are the Holy Spirit's temple, then shouldn't there be a huge difference between the person who has the Spirit of God living inside of him or her and the person who does not? What a challenge. I remember over many years of Soul Survivor summer events or just generally being in church, listening to amazing women that really stirred me up. Danielle Strickland, Prue Bredwell, Mary Pitches, Ellie Mumford, Jackie Pullinger, these amazing women of faith that shared stories just testing all of this. they didn't do it, some of them, even in their own church. They were just so brave that they would just go out and just go and, I mean, Jackie Pullinger, she went to Japan and just cracked on, didn't she? It was amazing. And I love that we're starting to move and we can see some of this in North Bushy. It's not for the kind of the heroes, it's for us here and now. Everything they got up to was in their everyday. So it's not something that's unachievable for us. We have the opportunity to pray for mums in mums and toddlers groups. We have an opportunity, youth, when you're together on a Friday, to be praying for one another and encouraging each other. When we're at work, we can offer friendship and love. If it's appropriate, we can pray. Don't want to get people in trouble with their bosses. And we can just be serving those around us. That's probably the greatest way of showing God's love. It'd be amazing to see the Monday prayer meeting become a place that manifests the presence of God so that we can take it out from here and see North Bushy changed, restored, renewed and recreated into the place for people to come and see that God is good. And as we delve deeper into scripture, we can also read that the people of the Old Testament, they went on that journey, didn't they, where they had God with them. They kind of took it a little bit for granted. And then there was always this thing of he was with them and then they would turn away from him. And he was with them and they'd turn away from him. And there's this bit in Ezekiel and then later in Ezra that is just shows the utter loss of what happens when God's presence left the Israelites, and he checks out and he doesn't return. They had his presence tangibly with them, guiding them and ever present in the temple, and they turn away from him again. He leaves, and I'm going to take us through that now. In Ezekiel 10:18, the presence of God is there. It says, "Then the glory of the Lord departed from over the threshold of the temple and stopped above the cherubim. While I watched the cherubim spread their wings and rose from the ground, and as they went, the wheels went with them. They stopped at the entrance of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was above them." Then later in Ezra 3:10-13, it says this, the temple, the foundations are built, but the presence of the Lord... Oh, sorry. In Ezra 3:10-13, it says this, that the temple foundations are built, but the presence of the Lord is not noted as being there. And that presence is something that the elders had experienced. And they cry out with loss. It says, "When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord, as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love towards Israel endures forever." And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house was laid. But many older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of his temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. So the people of God were left for the foreseeable future. The people that had followed his presence, their God that had performed miracles right there in front of them, they saw it happen. And they live in exile and war right up until Jesus comes. And obviously, as we know, the Messiah comes, everything changes. Jesus came so that we could have life, and by drawing close to him and his presence, that's exactly what we get. The paralyzed man received healing, the woman at the well acceptance and forgiveness, and the blind man gets sight. And we know today that we can have the presence of God alive in us, but it doesn't come without challenge. Just to go back to my first quote, the world is not moved by love or actions that are of human creation, and the church is not empowered to live differently from any other gathering of people without the Holy Spirit. But when believers live in the power of the Spirit, the evidence in their lives is supernatural. The church cannot help but be different, and the world cannot help but notice. This is another little sentence from Everyday Supernatural that just stood out to me. It says, "With Adam and Eve, we went into hiding. On the cross, Jesus found us, and now we never need to hide again." So how do we practice his presence in our everyday and live out in the power of the Holy Spirit? Firstly, we just need to give ourselves space. So space to get closer to God, and just space to hang out together. My husband Tim and I have been married, I think for 8 years, something like that. I've kind of lost count now, some small minor number. But you know, there are nights when we all just sit very chilled and chat in the stillness of our house. And there are other nights where we'll go out and spend time together on a date night. But whatever we do, it's just the two of us getting to know one another. 8 years deeper, 8 years on, still deeper and more every time that we chat and get to know one another. In the craziness of this world, it takes tremendous effort to find a quiet place. It takes time to quiet your mind and your heart before the Lord. We can't carry his presence if we don't know what it feels like to be together. Secondly, pay attention and prefer others over ourselves. I was watching an interview a little while ago with a famous American church leader called Dwayne Drain, and he was saying that we need to get rid of all the background noise and practice living in his presence by paying attention. He said that Deuteronomy says that man does not live alone by bread alone, but by every word that is continually proceeding from the mouth of God. He's always talking to us, but we get so easily distracted that we don't often pay attention to him. He went on to say, we don't tell our story. We want to tell our story, but don't often want to listen to other stories and often forget to listen to him. So we need to pay attention because his presence, again, it's not for us. It's to take out and to share with other people. It's to bring him into the lives of the last, the least, the lost. And so we need to hear their stories and be open to share his. Thirdly, we need to know that this isn't for the supernatural or supernatural, super spiritual among us. You know, just like King David, we don't have to be in a perfect place to be living out of God's presence. We don't have to be living 24-carat sin-free lives, gleaming, to be able to do this stuff. This is for all of us in the everyday. We just need to come as we are and be ready to live a life centered in and around his presence. And finally, we have the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us, in us and through us to do great things. We just need to pay attention and turn that dial up and listen. Carrying the presence of God in our everyday essentially is saying, take me on an adventure. Let me be open to what you want to do. Use me as your hands and feet. And let me always be open-palmed to say this is for your glory, not mine. It's not about what we can do, it's about who we're with. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen.